How brave are we this morning? What is our brave meter? We talked about zeal last week. We talked about getting our zeal up in Adam. I was asked this week, what's your series? What series of sermons are you on? And it kind of caught me off guard because often I don't know what my series are. And I started to look back. I said, God, I think you've got a series going on here. I didn't know it, and you just let me in on that through the question of someone else. But last week we were talking about our level of zeal. And if our level of zeal was waning, how we could step in to the very presence of the Lord and experience the very presence of the Lord. And He will lift up our zeal. He will enable us to be zealous for Him and zealous for what He wants for us in this world. Today we're kind of stepping on the bravery scale. And are hooked up to the bravery meter and see how brave or bold we are. And the definition of bravery is having the ability to face danger or difficulty or uncertainty or pain without being overcome by fear. Bravery is having more of something so fear doesn't get to make the call. It's not the elimination of fear. It is more of something that enables us more courage, more boldness, more bravery to be able to say, in spite of fear, I'm going to step this way. And I'm going to accomplish this thing that God, or this thing that is before my life. And we know that the synonyms are bold or daring or courageous. And so I ask, how brave am I? How bold am I? How daring am I? How courageous am I? Growing up, there was different levels of testing my bravery or testing our bravery. And they can be, you can push the button, they can be misunderstood as feats of foolishness. But they were really, in my book, they were tests of bravery and growing my bravery. And they often had something to do with the top beam in the barn with a pile of hay underneath. Yeah, anybody could jump off the first beam. For crying out loud, your little sister could jump off the first beam. Who's going to jump off the second beam? Who's going to move to the second beam, 20, 24 feet into the air? And I learned I not only learned bravery there perhaps, but I learned the trajectory there as well. And you need to just kind of plan how far out you're going to jump so you can still land in the hay. But those tests of bravery growing up. But often those tests of bravery would come for me on the sled riding hill. And how brave are you? And they almost always had something to do with speed. Almost always had something to do with speed. And then it would have something to do with jumping. If you could get the right trajectory, if you could pile up enough snow and you could get this right jump, and you had to have it in the right most optimum place in the hill, you couldn't start off with a jump. For crying out loud, that's pretty easy. But you got to have it right when you're at about 20 to 25 miles an hour. You ever been 25 miles an hour on a runner sled? I mean, that is hooking on a runner sled. I know, it feels like granny gear when you're out on the highway in a car. But when you're on a runner sled and you're only a couple inches off the ground, that is moving. And then you would mark with speed and maybe a jump. But then you had to add another element in there to really test your bravery. And that usually had something to do with the ability to stand up on your sled as you were going. And so now you would marry the speed, and you would marry the jump, and then you would marry standing up. And I know that you might think they're feats of foolishness, but I tell you what, to a 10, 12, 14-year-old, 16, 17-year-old, they were tests of bravery. How brave are you? How brave to be able to do this? Really, if you were going to be to be tested to the max, there was some basic understanding. And you do one for me, and I'm not speaking for or against any of these, just for me, I'm reflecting back. I could not get permission from my mom. She was not going to give me permission to be able to go for this test of bravery. I could not have somebody else on my sled because someone else might drag their foot. I don't want my bravery to be in relationship to somebody else's bravery. Get your foot off the snow. And for credit, this is just an aside, but when you walk back up the hill, stay on the track. Who doesn't know that? That's a whole nother different sermon I can write on. What are you walking back up the track for? There's a lot to learn in sled riding. And you could not think about what might happen if it didn't go well. You had to eliminate that thought. You only could focus in on what if it went well. You remember the wide world of sports? Remember, I said the wide world of sports spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The poor Vinko guy from Yugoslavia that come down that ski jump, and I know if you could quote, that means you're probably over 40. But that Vinko guy from Yugoslavia, he's almost at the bottom, ready to be lifted into the air and ski jumping, and he falls at the bottom. And he comes swinging out over the jump. It was hilarious as a 13-year-old. The guy only broke his ankle and had a slight concussion. He's fine. He's still alive. I looked it up. He's still good. Bravery. How brave are we? As we grow up, maybe wisdom can overcome the feats of foolishness, and they are weeded out from our acts of bravery. But I still believe there's acts of bravery. How brave are we? And listen, I don't want to just be foolish. As 57 now, I don't want to be foolish because I land different than I did when I was 13. And I don't want to be foolish, but I don't want to be unbrave or uncourageous or unbold either. I don't think God takes that out of us. I think He wants us to be brave. Foolish, no. Brave, yes. He wants us to be courageous. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be at the top of the hill. Well, I don't have any hay mows here today, and I don't have any sled riding hills here today, but I'm going to challenge us. How brave are we? How bold are we? How daring are we? How courageous are we? And I'm going to focus in on one thing this morning, because I think I could focus in on a lot of things when I ask that question. And I'm going to focus in on something. I find it very interesting that we could focus in that saturate me with your love and lead me to those that are lost. We just sang that. And we could focus in on reaching the world with the gospel and how brave are we. That's not where we're going today. I just want to focus in and laser right in on one topic today. And I'm going to ask us how brave we are in this. How brave are you? You can push the button. How brave are you in your prayer life? How brave and bold and daring and courageous are we in our prayer life? What are your prayers? How would you rate your prayers? Are they pretty safe prayers? Are they like halfway up the hill prayers? Are they dragging your foot prayer? Are they laying down on your sled prayer? Are they middle beam prayer? And I don't have any problem with those types of prayers. I'm just asking, is there any top beam prayers in our prayer life? Is there any standing on your sled prayers in your prayer life? Is there any speed prayers in your prayer? Is there any prayers where you know I've got to have courage to pray this? I got to have boldness to pray this. I got to have bravery to pray this. Are there any in our lives? Are all our prayers this kind of medium of the road? I am not saying don't pray those things. I'm just asking, is there a level? I'm not saying don't ever go ride downhill unless you can stand on your sled, go 25 miles an hour, and do over a jump. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, when you're riding downhill and you can add those elements, there's something about that. I'm asking this morning, not if we're men and women of prayer. I'm actually assuming that. Well, I'm asking how brave we are, how bold we are, how courageous we are in our prayer life. What are we asking for? What are you asking God to do? What are you asking for God to release into your life? Do we know the level of bravery that took for us to even be able to pray? Do we know that in Ephesians 3:12 it says this, in Jesus and through faith in Jesus we may approach God, and that word with freedom or with boldness, with bravery, with courage. You can approach God with courage and confidence. Do we understand the bravery that was committed by Jesus or demonstrated by Jesus just so you and I could be in the presence of God? And he said, now when you get in the presence, you can come into the presence of God and you can demonstrate boldness and you can demonstrate courage and you can demonstrate confidence and you can demonstrate these things because it's been accomplished. I've demonstrated what it took to get there. Now take advantage because of me and my faith and your faith in Jesus. You can approach God with courage and bravery. I find that very interesting that that's what it says. And sometimes I wish they would just add all the amplified, like Renee reads from, all the words. That you can approach God with freedom and courage and bravery and on and on and on. Because I think I first beamed freedom. And when I start to study the word freedom, I start to think, that's not a first beam word. That's a second beam word. That's not a halfway up the hill and secure on your sled with a dude dragging his foot on the backside. That's not that kind of verse. That is not that kind of verse. You can approach God with courage and boldness. And I love the feedback that I've got this week from some of you. And it's realizing that I don't know if I'm approaching God with boldness. I don't even know if I have the right with boldness. I don't know about that. But that feedback comes to me. Yes, you do. Jesus said.
Come on now.
Let's not take the enemy and let him just fill us up with first beam prayers. And again, please don't hear that. I just need to say that again. I'm not talking against first beam prayers. But if there's no second beam prayers in our life, I'm wondering if we're really taking advantage of what's being said here. Because look what the writer of Hebrews says. Look at the writer of Hebrews says. It says this. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Confidence, freedom, with great courage, boldness. Push the button. Here, look at this. It's the same word. Paul's telling the church of Ephesus, because of Jesus and what he has done and your trust in him, you can approach God with bravery and courage. Now do it. Let's approach the throne of grace with courage, with boldness, is what it says there. Preach it. The prophet Elijah just agreed with me in the front row. I'm telling you right now, you didn't hear it, but you need to turn up the volume on the film when you do the review of this. We're going to the booth. Yes, he did. With boldness come before the Lord. With boldness come before the Lord. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. And so that we may receive mercy. So we may receive mercy. And that mercy is more of a salvific moment. And so you can receive your salvation and find grace to help us in our time of need. That find grace is favor and strength and help and counsel and direction and support for various duties and trials of life. It's not only trials of life, but it's the duties of life. He said, do that. Come on, Jesus said, I did it. And I opened it wide up for you. Don't come in there with only first beam prayers. Get some second beam prayers in here. You can be courageous in the presence of God. You can ask God What are you asking God for? What are we asking God for in our lives? And we need to find grace. We need to find favor and strength and help and counsel, not only in our time of need, but also in our time of duty and walking out our faith on this world and in this world. We could go to Matthew this morning, and Matthew, the apostle Matthew was saying, Jesus was preaching this message. He said, I'm telling you what, disciples, ask. And this is a layer of prayers. This is the intensity of prayer. Ask and keep asking and seek and keep seeking and knock and keep knocking. It's the depth of prayer. The first is asking. Anybody can ask. Start asking, he said. Start asking. Start with first beam prayers. Go to second beam prayers. And don't ask. You can ask anything. Listen, New Life. You can ask anything of God. He said, I want you to be bold and courageous. And just so you know, you can ask anything. And then the intensity or the depth of prayer goes, and you can seek, and you can seek. And I think we need to do more seeking in our life. We ask and we give up. Jesus said, don't give up. Seek, go find out. If that answer, see, I think we can program to do this. Well, I prayed and it didn't happen, therefore God said no. I don't agree with that. I think we pray and it doesn't come and it's being held up, and Jesus said you need to start seeking it out. You need to start going deeper. You need to know why that's not happening in your life. And were you motivated to pray for that? Why is it not happening in your life? You need to go to school on that prayer. Don't give up on that prayer. Ask and keep asking. He doesn't say ask and then ask something different and then ask something different and then ask something different and ask something different. He said ask and keep asking. And when it doesn't happen, seek it out. Why is it not happening? Do I need internal work, God? Does something else have to come in life? But you motivated me to ask for this. You told me in the scripture to ask for this. It is not coming. And I want to know why, God. And I'm going to start seeking. I'm going to seek hard, God. And then I'm going to knock. You know what knocking means? I'm going to get very persistent. I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock. I'm not giving up, God. I am not giving up. You asked me to ask, and I'm asking. And I believe you've motivated me to ask for this, God. And I don't feel that it's coming into my life. And so I'm going to seek why it's not there, God. And I'm going to find out why it's not there, God. We can go back to Daniel if we wanted to and find out that Daniel, listen, it's not on the screen, but listen. And then he continued. And this is the angel that brought Daniel's answer. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord, your words were heard. And I came in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days until Michael showed up and pushed it on through. And I'm here with the answer 3 weeks later. And you will, and it will be answered. Ask and you will find. Seek and you will find. And knock and the door will be open for you. And just because it's not happening today, don't give up, man. Just as an aside and maybe another message for some time, that Persian kingdom demon that run the Persian kingdom is today's Iran. I wonder if he's still in business. And the angel that brought the answer to Daniel said, when the first day you ask, I heard. And God heard. And he put it in my hands. And he said, take this to Daniel. Now we could say, why doesn't God just blow it? I don't know. He's God. You're not. So suck it up. He said, seek and ask and seek and knock. That's the way he does business. And sometimes it's held up. But are you asking bold? Because it didn't happen within the first hour or two or three, or the first week or two or three, or the first month or two or three, or the first year or two or three. Are we giving up rather than saying, no, I have boldly come before the throne. I am with bravery. I'm going to come before the throne. Courageous, I am coming before the throne. And I'm going to ask for top beam. Stand up on your sled. Icy slope. Good jump in the halfway, two-thirds of the way down the hill. I'm asking for those types of prayers. And I'm going to keep asking, and I'm going to keep seeking. Look what it says in Hebrews 5, 7. This is one, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Don't tell me that Jesus did not knock and seek and ask. Oh, we highlight, and he held the bread up before the Father, and he said, boom, bang, it happened. And then there's other times when he's on the ground weeping and crying and refusing to give up, communicating with the Father. How brave, bold, daring, courageous are we in our prayer life? Let me just ask this as an example. How brave and bold and daring and courageous are we in our prayers? How about this? Push the button. When was the last time you stood before God in boldness and asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you think God wants to do that? Then why aren't we asking? And just so we know, the Greek word there, we know, is an ongoing word, so it's be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's never wrong to ask for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But when was the last time I prayed? When was the last time you prayed? You stood before the Lord and just said, I am going to weep and I'm going to cry because I know you want to fill me with your Spirit. Oh, I know. Listen, I know. I got the theological answers too. Oh, I know that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I know that it happened at salvation. Okay, I got that. I'm not talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference there. When was the last time you said, saturate my mind, God? Saturate my soul, God? Saturate my heart, God? See, sometimes I think we're not courageous in prayer because we're afraid God's going to answer. Because certain answers are bigger than other answers. This is first beam prayer answer. Good stuff. It's a great ball. It's a one-inch ball. This is 14. It's harder to answer. It's harder to hide this answer than it is this answer. Am I making sense with this? Because when the Spirit of God falls upon you and He fills you, you're going to get a 14-inch answer. That's going to be a hard prayer to hide the answer to. The prayer, that prayer being answered, will be noticed. See, we not only got to have courage to ask, we got to have courage to receive the answer. Oh, I want lots of these. I got lots of pocket prayers. I want pocket. Listen, don't hear me say anything that it's not a pocket prayer, it's not valuable. I'm asking for 14-inch prayers. And with a 14-inch prayer, there's a 14-inch answer. And I believe that when you start asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. Well, I'm going to be different. We're all going to be different. And guess what? People are going to start taking notice that you're different. And all of a sudden, they're going to wonder, what in the world's wrong with you? And all you have to tell them is, I got a 14-inch answer. And it wasn't a hoagie. You're just going to have to excuse me. I just got a 14-inch answer. Oh, I got a whole pocket. Listen, I bought like 5 of these. I bought 100 of these. It's the same price. I got 100 of these in my office. I got 5 of these. Guess what? 100 of these fit in my desk drawer. Guess what? These don't. Well, how bold are we in prayer? And is the fear of God answering keep us from praying? Because I don't know what to do. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, will it change my life? Yes. I don't know what it'll do, but I'm guaranteeing you this. The scripture are clear of this. The power from on high will come upon you. Now you can have the action that might happen or whatever. I don't know all those things. All I know is Acts 1:8 says this, and the power from on high will fall upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will have a demonstration of the power of God. Woo! That's a 14-inch answer. What are we asking for? When was the last time? What would we be motivated to spend some time with God in the next days and hours and weeks and months and years and continuing ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, which you're not as full as He can fill you, just so you know that, you're not as full as He can fill you. And if you like your life right now, you don't want any changes, don't pray that prayer. Because it'll change. All for the better. Woe to those who cling to worthless idols. They forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What else are we asking for? How about this? He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you had the faith of as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. When was the last time you stood before the Lord and asked to be a mountain mover? I'm telling you what, you can run a trowel and you can move mountains. When was the last time we just stood before the Lord and said, listen, God, you said, and I'm not coming in here with any cockiness or anything on my own, you said that because of Christ and my faith in Him, I can come with you with bravery and boldness. And I'm going to come to you with bravery and boldness today, and I'm going to ask you to make me a mountain mover and give me the faith that can move mountains, because I'm tired of living at the base of this mountain. This mountain needs to go. Mountain mover, top beam, stand up, 400 yards down the slope, 25, 30 degree angle, 6 foot jump, and about two thirds, you got to have about two thirds of the way down, because you got to actually live and land on the other end. Are we afraid? Do we know we can't? Do we think we can't ask? We can. Are we asking for only top or first beam prayers? We can. Are we asking for top beam prayers? And or do we know we can't do that? Or do we think we can't do that? Or are we afraid to do that? Or maybe we're afraid of the answer. I'm just really preaching to myself this morning, and you get to be privy to me talking to myself. I'm looking at you. Because that prayer being answered will be noticed. How about this one? We know the prayer of Jabez. When was the last time you stood before the Lord and just said, God bless me? Well, it's always better to ask for other people. I'm glad Jabez didn't know that. That was his only dynamic of praying. When was the last time you stood before the Lord and asked Him to bless you? And I'm talking bless you. And enlarge your territory and let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free of pain. And we know there's a lot of dynamic there. We could preach a whole series of messages on that verse or two. I get that. But I'm not going to dive into all that. But I'm telling us one thing. And the Lord granted His request. I'm telling you, that's bold praying. That's a 14-inch answer. How about this one? When was the last time you stood before the Lord and said, "Search me, God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts"? See, I want to stand before the Lord, and I said, "Man, God, if you could just search Cheryl and test her, that'd be kind of cool. If you could just clean her up some, God, because she's really kind of bugging me." That's not a bold prayer. That's stupidity. But when was the last time you stood before the Lord and said, "Here I am. Search me, God. And know if there's any offensive way in me. And then look what he asked for. And lead me in the way of everlasting." I'm talking right now, if you're walking in the way of everlasting, that's some 14-inch prayers. And that's some 14-inch answers. Please, let's not stop praying first beam prayers. But let us move to second beam once in a while. That prayer being answered will be noticed. How about this one? There was one, to one there is given the spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, and by the means of the same spirit, to one faith and the same spirit, and to one the gifts of healing by the same spirit. See, now I'm gonna move into this really uncharted territory maybe in our lives. See, I don't have as much problem with asking God to search me or to bless me or to give me faith or to do those things. Well, I'm wondering, would you ask him to fill your hands with the spiritual gifts? Would you ask him to fill your hands? "God, I'm standing before you right now. I'm going to be bold. Would you put healing in my hands? In the name of Jesus, would you put healing in a doctor's hands? I'm asking God, would you fill this doctor's hands? You filled this doctor with wisdom and knowledge and experience, but I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would fill her hands with healing. In the name of Jesus, let it run over from her and on into every patient that she sees. In Jesus' name, amen." Don't tell me I can't ask for that. How about it, Arlene? Arlene's going to physical therapy. Her and I talked the other day. You know what she's starting to pray? She's starting to pray with her physical therapist. She said, "Would this be okay if I ask God to put healing in his hands?" I said, "Ooh, baby, do it." Arlene told me a bunch of years ago, she said, "I'm only 72 and I'm not wasting the rest of my life." I'm telling you what, that physical therapy is going to be off the charts. He's going to have to start charging double. Don't tell Arlene she can't do that. And don't say, "I can't stand before the Lord and say, fill my hands with healing." I'm telling us that prayer being answered is going to be noticed. Fill my hands with wisdom. Fill my hands with knowledge, the message of the knowledge. And that passage goes on, and you can push the button, because that answer, that prayer being answered is going to be noticed. I'm telling you right now, that prayer is going to be answered. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. Whew. And just so you know, I got a green answer too. I'm just saying, you can ask for those things. I'm just thinking, and you can correct my theology if I'm wrong. Please do it gently. I'm kind of sensitive. That's top beam praying. And I think it's high time that the church adds to their first beam praying top beam prayers and begins to receive 14-inch answers. Because I think God wants to do that. Please do not think that's pastor stuff. That is not pastor stuff. That is believer in Jesus Christ stuff. Amen. Let me finish with this one, and then we'll go eat some tacos. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, dump your kingdom on this earth. Do you know what you're asking for there? Oh, we quote that and we get that, and oh that's sweet, and we'll see it posted on Facebook, and our Father who art in heaven, I know that. And we don't even read the rest of it. We're asking for God to dump his kingdom on this earth. And Jesus is telling his disciples, go ahead. I dare you. Go ahead, be bold. Go ahead, be courageous. Because I want to fill your prayers with kingdom stuff. And you're going to dump them on this earth. And they're going to run all over this earth. Oh, some one-inch answers too. Nothing wrong with those. But I'm telling us right now, as new lifers, when there's a bunch of first beam prayers being answered, and there's a bunch of second beam prayers being answered, this world is going to take notice that God is moving among us and through us and into this world that so desperately needs Jesus. Be courageous in your prayer life. And be courageous in receiving the 14-inch answers. Stand with me today. Jesus, thank you for this morning, and thank you for this week, and thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for the words that you've given me this week, personally, and also through your servants. Thank you for the word I got from Jeff. Thank you for the word I got from Kathy. Thank you for the word I got from Tim. Thank you for the word I got from Dave. Thank you for the word I got from Emily. Thank you for the word I got from Cheryl. Thank you for the men and the people on Wednesday night and Monday night. Thank you for the word that you've spoken into my life this week. And Father, I pray that you would continue to speak in us and you would say, go ahead, pray, be bold, be courageous in prayer. Because I got a whole raft. There's no supply chain jacked up in your world, God. And I got a whole supply of 14-inch answers ready to dump on you. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the moments we've got to spend here. Today we get a little extra time, and I thank you for that. So blessings on this group. God, thank you for them. God, I love this group. And I'm asking that you will make them mountain movers. You will fill their hands with prophecy. You would fill their hands with wisdom. You would bless them. You would expand their territory. God, in the name of Jesus, I would ask you that you would search and lead in the way everlasting. And Father, I ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.